Good morning.
Good morning. Happy April.
Happy April and welcome back.
Welcome back.
To Drill.
Happy spring.
It is so nice outside.
I know. Thank God.
Yeah. This past week, we had, my car said 77 at one point. I don't know if that was true.
I think it was true.
Yeah. It was super nice.
The golf course is open. The museum is open.
What happened this month?
Well, I think you went up to Alpena.
I was up in Alpena.
An interesting event.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. We had a delegation, including our KC-135 and A-10 Agile Combat Employment teams.
Okay.
Go up to kind of showcase the National All-Domain Warfighting Center to the Swedish Air Force.
Interesting.
Yeah, we are ever expanding and trying to get, you know, more national partners to come in and train with us and train here in Michigan. And because of Michigan's adaptability to a lot of the NATO countries, they love coming here to train just environmentally. The fact that we have the lake and can do, you know, marine training, we have a lot of practically all forest up there, forestry. Yeah, they absolutely love it. And the environment is sort of comparable to Northern Europe. So we got to take them on a helicopter ride to the gunnery range. So we flew on Blackhawks to the Grayling Air Gunnery Range, where they got to see the A-10s do some strafing rounds. And yeah, it was just a really cool few days.
Did you fly with them in the Blackhawks?
I did.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. That was my second time in a Blackhawk.
Okay.
But my first time pretty much like flying in that fashion, you know.
So cool.
It was really cool. Yeah, it was neat. And then we got to go out to dinner at the River Club with them. Which is really, that's the full Alpena experience, is to go to the River Club.
For sure. I'm so glad they got to go to the River Club.
And some of the full-timers actually cooked us dinner. They cooked us a barbecue dinner. It was the best. Yeah.
So that's fun.
Great couple days. They went back to the Pentagon and they're talking to our headquarters Air Force senior leaders. And we hope that the Air National Guard has a strong partnership with the Swedish Air Force, our newest NATO member.
Wow. That's exciting.
Newest member to enter the alliance. So
cool.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome, Sweden.
Welcome, Sweden. So last month we had a STEAM event that kicked off our air show season. As everybody knows, our air show is going to be June 8th and 9th, and our headlining act will be the Air Force Thunderbirds.
Heck yes.
So very exciting. We're looking forward to that. We had our first in a series of STEAM events, as we've had in the past few air show seasons. We had about 60 kids at the M1 concourse in Pontiac, where they got to experience a lot of different STEAM fields. STEAM stands for science, technology, engineering, arts, mathematics, and that's it.
That's it.
That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's the word.
There's no S. So yeah, it was pretty cool. The Army flew in a Chinook. The Misty Blues did a parachute jump.
Really cool.
And yeah, it was really exciting. That's so awesome. If you're interested in volunteering for the air show, you can send an email to selfridgevolunteers@gmail.com. And if you want to learn more about the event and everything we have planned, you can go to teamselfridge.com.
Awesome. You know what I really love about the Misty Blues? They kick off our air show.
Yeah.
Each day.
They do.
So, and I didn't realize that until 2017, our first air show here at Selfridge.
Right.
We turn around and we hear the national anthem playing. And we turn around to salute and we see the Misty Blues flying in with their big flag. And it's so cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Oh, are they going to be at the air show this year?
They are going to be at the air show.
Awesome.
Yep. And we hope that they'll be opening the show again each day.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So what else has happened?
Well, as everyone listening probably knows, in a couple weeks, Detroit is going to be hosting the NFL draft.
Yes.
So we had an opportunity here to host a couple prospects, a couple top prospects, actually, that are going to be a part of this year's 2024 draft. The other day we had Joe Alt. He's an offensive tackle from Notre Dame, go Irish, and Bo Nix, quarterback from Auburn, War Eagle. They're both, they came out to the base and did some meet and greet. They got to tour the base and they flew on a Blackhawk. So it's always great to partner with organizations like the NFL for events such as this. Yeah. So
this month, there are a few important observances. What do we have going?
Well, this month, most notably, as you may have seen from a lot of the, you know, swag around base and signs, it's Sexual Assault Awareness Month. They take the month of April to both bring awareness to a problem that persists pretty regularly in the military, unfortunately, but also to provide awareness of the resources. So National Guard units have sexual assault prevention and response offices that are set up to act as a liaison for members that do have a issue that they, you know, need to bring to their leadership. They kind of act as a liaison to them. So we have Mrs. Alicia Campbell, who is our sexual assault response coordinator. So she runs the SAPR office. And then we have Ms. Sheila Light, who's the lead victim advocate for the office. So we have had them in the past, and I think we're overdue to have them back here at the Road to Drill to go over some of the stats, because I was taking a look at them before we got started, and the most recent data is from 2022, because they're still processing 2023,
right.
But 8,942 reports of sexual assault in the Army, Air Force, Navy, and Marine Corps. That's in a single fiscal year.
Wow.
So that's insane. In the Air Force alone, that's 5.5 people for every 1,000 have had an instance of sexual assault. So that very important reason is why we take April to recognize as Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
April is also the month of the military child.
Okay.
And this is a big deal for you and I.
It is.
Because you have two minis.
I do.
I have one. The Defense Department celebrates military children during the month of April because there are more than 1.6 million military children who face many challenges and unique experiences as a result of our service.
Right.
Take a look at the Michigan National Guard Family Readiness page. There's a lot of resources and commemorations and fun things to do with your kids during this month.
It's a very unique club that our children are a part of, to be a military child. They live a life that most of their peers, especially here in the Air National Guard, just in the National Guard in general, you know, in the active duty environment, all of the kids on a base kind of experience the same thing, whereas Rainey and Dylan and Lucas are sort of unique because they both live in towns where there are not many or practically any military people.
Right.
So it's both a badge of honor for them and also a challenge for them. I think they do pretty well with it.
They're pretty good.
Yeah. Good kids.
What's happening at drill?
Well, this drill, we are only, I think, speaking to 3/4 of the members out there.
Why?
Right now. The air refueling group and a lot of our support elements are actually going to be out here in 2 weeks. We're going to be having an NSAV, that stands for Nuclear Staff Assisted Visit. What that does is it helps get us ready for our highest priority mission that the U.S. Air Force has, and that's our nuclear readiness mission. So we'll have members come in that help inspect our processes for generating aircraft and refueling. Extremely important exercise for an extremely important mission. But that's going to take a good portion of us out of pocket for this drill and kind of shift us 2 weeks later before we come back in May, 3/4 of the way through May for our May RSD. So, but this month for the members that are here, for the majority of us that are here this drill, we have some promotions and some retirements.
For the members that are here, we do have some ceremonial events taking place this weekend. Saturday, we're going to celebrate the retirement of Chief Daly at 1400 at the Airman Wellness Center.
Awesome. And then on Sunday, Senior Master Sergeant Jeff Carter, not the former Philadelphia Flyer and LA King Jeff Carter. This is our 127th Wing Defender, Jeff Carter. He will be promoting to the rank of Chief this weekend.
Awesome.
Yeah, very cool. And congratulations to him. That's going to take place at 1500 on Sunday. And it looks like there are two possible locations for that. So if it's nice out, which we are hoping it is, and it looks like it's going to be. It looks like it's going to be an amazing weekend to be drilling.
Is it really?
It's going to be really nice. So if it's nice, which we all hope it is, it'll be outside at the Enlisted Heritage House. But if the weather does not cooperate, it'll be at the dining facility.
Okay. So, awesome.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Some good stuff happening this weekend.
Also on Sunday, the Family Readiness Group is having their annual spring breakout event for children of drilling service members. If you go to our Facebook page under events, or you go to the Air Force Connect app, under events, you will find the details that you need to register your child for the spring breakout.
Awesome. So you can still sign up for that.
You can still sign up for that. Yep.
Very cool. Well, if you notice, this podcast is slightly shorter because we have this month the newest wing first sergeant, Master Sergeant McCroskery, who is the 127th Wing Headquarters and Operations Group First Sergeant, coming in to talk about the First Sergeant program, cool. Introduce himself, and also talk about the First Sergeant Council and you know, just what they do. So
awesome.
We're going to kick it over to me now with Shirt McCroskery. So
have a great drill.
Have a great drill. See you out there.
Bye.
All right. So today we are lucky to have the 127th Wing Headquarters First Sergeant, so First Sergeant McCroskery, with us. And he's going to talk a little bit about what being a First Sergeant is. So new to the 127th Wing Headquarters, sir. Mm-hmm. Not new as a First Sergeant, though. So
not very new, no.
No, sir. So please, if you wouldn't mind giving us an introduction, let's let the wing know who you are.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
So I am, as you said, I'm new to the wing headquarters element, coming from the 191st Maintenance Squadron. Brought on board there a couple of years ago. Before that, I was security forces for 20 years. And my plan was to retire at the end of that 20 years. And they pulled me back in. Said, you need to be a first sergeant. I said, okay, I'll do it. Yeah, yeah. And it was a great decision. I'm glad I did.
Here at the wing, how long have you been here with us?
Just about a month.
Okay.
So don't ask me how I like it because it's still too early. I like it fine.
Got to get good. A couple drills.
It's different, though. It's different. Yeah. You know, when I started over at the 191st, it was a completely different animal from what I was used to. Okay. Going from security forces is all I knew for 20 years.
Sure.
And so I go over, start working with these maintainers. And they're awesome, but they're speaking a different language.
For sure.
I'm in the building. I'm on the flight line. I'm in this hangar.
Right.
You know, my office is in a airplane hangar. So I walk in the building and there's this a huge plane parked right there, and it's awesome and it's exciting.
Right.
So this is a completely new environment. There's no airplane when I walk in the door.
Right.
You know, so I'm getting used to it, but it's good. I'm excited. It's good to be in a place where I get to step outside my comfort zone. I'm a big advocate for stepping outside your comfort zone as you can, because your comfort zone has a way of catching up with you. So I was very comfortable over at the 191st, and they're awesome. And I still work over there and will continue to cover down as a first sergeant until my replacement is identified and installed. So
yeah, and I'd like to talk about that as
sure.
well, too, you know, for prospective members, you know, wanting to get involved
as
being a first sergeant. So now that you're here, and we're very happy to have you, what can the wing headquarters and the 127th Ops Group, correct?
Correct.
So you're covering down for the 127th Operations Group for sergeant position. What can the members here both expect and do for the first sergeant? So if you wouldn't mind explaining, you know, the duties of a first sergeant.
Well, number one, they can stay out of trouble.
That's always
appreciate that.
Always top of the list. Yes, sir.
Make my life somewhat easier. So what do you expect from a first sergeant? I think some people have gotten the impression that first sergeant is for handing out urinalysis letters, okay, booking rooms for commuters during drill,
sure,
issuing disciplinary action. That's all fine. That's all good. Okay, that's part of it. I could quote for you the regs on what a first sergeant does and is expected to do and what it's for. I break it down like this, really, is my job as a first sergeant is to make sure you have what you need to do your job.
Yes, sir.
And to do it well, and to do my best to clear the way of any obstacles that might hinder you from doing that job.
For sure.
Right. So anything having to do with your morale, with your training, your readiness, maybe you've got some issues that are happening in your personal life that might affect what's going on here. We'll address that sort of thing. I am not here to replace anybody's therapist or priest or mother. I can direct people toward resources, toward a therapist or a priest, and maybe not a mother. But so we're a conduit for the troops toward whatever resources they need, including financial, including psychological, including, you know, a whole host of things. But people is our priority. That's our business. That's what we do. We're all about the people.
Right. What with those duties, what would you say was your, what's been your best experience, or what's been your most fulfilling experience?
Just sitting down one-on-one, eyeball to eyeball with troops, especially the new troops, mm-hmm. and just saying, who are you? What are you about? What do you want? And just hearing them say things like, yeah, I want to be a command chief one day. That's awesome.
Right.
And then I can say, great, let's figure out how to get you there.
Right.
That's exciting. All right. So I'd love to hear that. It's gratifying to try to direct people towards some kind of career goal. One of the things that has bothered me when I hear that members have left the wing because they felt like they weren't valued, mm-hmm. they weren't heard, maybe they didn't feel like they added much, that's unfortunate. That's yep. very sad. And that's a failure on the part of leadership.
Right.
And so one of the things I've been trying to do is just make sure people understand they are heard and they are valued. They're very important. Day one airmen, you are an important part of this
right.
organization, and you need to know it. And we're going to draw the best out of you. And people are coming into this wing with, I mean, degrees and things, master's degrees, even like PhD candidates, right. people who know stuff.
Yes.
People, even if they don't have degrees, they have real life, real world experience that they can right. contribute to this. And we want to know, what do you have to offer? Because people have a lot to offer.
Right.
And we want to make sure that they know that whether they're a day one E-nothing airman on up, we want to know what you have.
Absolutely.
Because people have a lot to offer.
That's 100% correct. I'm always amazed to hear some of the backgrounds of folks and what they've accomplished already. And
yeah.
here we are working
it's
side
incredible.
By side.
Yeah, we are very fortunate to have these people.
And it goes across the career spectrum. We have cops who are PhD candidates.
Unbelievable.
And
yeah, it's true.
It's just, it's wild,
yeah.
right? Fostering the abilities of the NCO.
Yeah.
Where do you find, you know, yourself in the mentoring process for C5s and E6s?
You said the word. Okay. You said mentoring. And that's a big deal. Right. So everybody wants that next promotion. They want that next stripe. And that's good. You know, people want it. They should pursue it.
Right.
People need to understand. You've heard rank has its privileges, right?
Absolutely.
Rank has its responsibilities. Rank has its burdens.
Yes.
With that next stripe comes what? Visibility, comes responsibilities
yes.
for which you will probably not receive the recognition that you maybe deserve.
Right.
Right? It's more work, but that's okay. That's good, right?
Right.
You when you become a sergeant, you become a servant. Maybe you know that's
Absolutely.
The origin of the word sergeant
sure.
is servant.
Right.
Right? You are a servant. You serve your troops. As first sergeant, I'm the first servant. I get to serve everybody from the wing commander all the way down to E-nothing day one airman.
Right.
That is a privilege. That's the privilege, I think, that goes along with rank.
Absolutely.
And so people need to just understand and adopt that mentality, I think. Servant leadership. You are not here to be served
right.
as an NCO. You okay. are here to serve. Right? So the average time in service for master sergeants is 21 years.
Okay.
The average time for seniors is 25. The average time for chiefs, 29. There's not a single chief on this base that has less than 20 years. So in this wing right now, just senior NCOs, that's over 6,000 years time in service. That's 6,000 years of education, experience, discernment, wisdom, mistakes, failures, victories, all these things that need to be what? Passed on to the new troops.
For sure.
Passed on. Like, you know, that's a lot that could potentially walk out the door.
Right.
Because all those people that I just named, they could all just go poof
right.
like that. And with them, all that knowledge.
Right.
So that all needs to be passed on.
Absolutely.
All of it. Because those, the
wow.
troops, the young troops now, they're the NCOs and the senior NCOs of tomorrow.
That's absolutely right.
So I would say mentor those troops. Get on my vector. Sign up to be a mentor. Sign up for a mentor. That is part of servant leadership. Is serving those troops by passing on all that knowledge.
I realized that day one, putting on E5.
Yeah, good.
And that was like, you learned you aren't promoted based off of what you've done. you're promoted based off of what your leadership believes you can do.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was like kind of seeing the light, and it's like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Because you think when you have your, you know, you're enlisted, your junior enlisted promotions come to you in time if you're good.
Sure.
And you do what you're supposed to do. But then when you move into the NCO Corps, and it's a different story. It's like now you are...
The expectations.
You're kind of doing an about face, and you're looking down the line at your... Once airman, you work side by side. Now you're in front of them.
And that's
right. You know, it all kind of comes to you at one point.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Now you're a servant.
Absolutely.
And
I love that.
And you become more so as you increase in rank.
For sure.
And that's a good thing.
It is. Very much so. So as far as, you know, what it takes to become a first sergeant.
Yeah.
I think I'm not alone in that at one point in my time in service, I always thought that, like, oh, you know, the first sergeants, they're the ones who they've had that charmed Air Force existence, or they came in and like they did everything right. These are, you know, this is the model of what you're supposed to do right, you know, in the enlisted force. As I've gotten to have peers become first sergeants and stuff, I've sort of adopted a new outlook at that. And it's much more varied than just the straight A students of the enlisted corps. You know, I was a crazy airman at one point. Yeah, I was all over the place. And, you know, in speaking with, you know, some of my friends that have become first sergeants, they're like, you know, that's something that could work to your advantage in the first sergeant corps. You know, wanting to be able to relate to airmen that are having issues. If you had issues and you worked out of those issues, you know, that's gold, as, you know, when it comes to mentoring airmen that are, you know, maybe on the edge. What can you speak to that far as, like, you know, airmen that you've brought out of, you know?
Who would you rather have over you? Who would you rather have as a first sergeant? Somebody who has been completely 100% perfect and straight-laced their whole career, or somebody who's made some mistakes?
Definitely
but
the latter.
But has learned by them, learned from them, and has improved.
Definitely the latter.
Yeah. And few people that I know have made no mistakes.
Right.
You know, myself included. We've all made mistakes.
Absolutely.
That's not the problem, right? The problem is not learning from mistakes. Right, so there's nobody perfect among the first sergeants. I could tell you that 100%.
Right.
But I know them all, and they are all 100% committed to their troops.
Right. We have a great group of first sergeants.
Absolutely, they're 100%. Awesome. And I would say to the troops too, get to know your first sergeants.
Yes,
they should be the most available and accessible people in the world, but they're really spread thin. There's not a single person who's a full time first sergeant out here. So they come here.
Oh, wow.
Not one.
I didn't know that.
There are people who are a couple full-timers, but they're not. They have their base job. They got their job, right? But there's no full-time first sergeant.
Sure, right.
So when they come here on a drill weekend, they are pulled in a dozen different directions at once. I
can't imagine.
So I would say don't think that your first sergeant is ignoring you.
Right.
Because he or she is not ignoring you. Trust me. Even, you know, consider reaching out to your first sergeant. Hunt them down. And say, hi, I'm Airman so-and-so. Or here's a better thing. How can I help you, First Sergeant? What do you need? You know, because they're busy. They're very busy.
Yeah.
And they love it. They love being busy.
Right.
Then that's good. But it does make for for some difficulty.
Some long weekends. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Well, actually, the weekends go by really fast.
When you're constantly moving. Yes, I can imagine. Lastly, being a first sergeant, you're automatically part of the first sergeant council. Could you explain what the council does, you know, for the base, for the airmen, for leadership, what sort of the mission is?
I would say the most important thing that the first sergeant council does is provide mutual support for the first sergeants.
Okay.
Right? Because we are always running into situations and scenarios that we maybe have not encountered. Right. And so what do? We reach out to the other first sergeants. What would you do in this situation? Or have you encountered this? Or I've got a troop that's got this issue. What do you guys think? That's the biggest thing, right? And we are to a person committed to helping each other out as well. All right. When I say that the first sergeants are committed to the troops, ourselves included, right?
Right.
So in supporting each other, we of course support the troops, the wider base community. So that's the biggest thing, I would say. Also, a lot of information comes to the First Sergeant Council that we then disseminate to our troops.
Well, that's all excellent information, sir. So we definitely appreciate hearing more about, and we want to hear more.
Great.
So as
no, we can do this again.
Yeah, please. As stuff comes down, as stuff comes to mind,
sure.
Pop in anytime.
That'd be great.
So thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Good morning, Team Selfridge. Welcome to April Drill. Today we're filming from the 127th Mission Support Group Force Support Squadron's Dining Facility, or DFAC. Chief Gordon and I love every drill weekend coming to the DFAC to hang out with the Selfridge family, where our services flight provides meals for more than 500 airmen per hour. Our services team acquired an expandable, single-pallet expeditionary kitchen, or ESPEC, last month. The ESPEC capability enables services to serve hot meals to more than 500 airmen per hour while downrange, making us more flexible to support agile combat employment operations and maintain a healthier fighting force. So April is designated as Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month, which provides an opportunity to emphasize the resources and support available to you in an area that remains a top priority throughout the year. We are so fortunate at Selfridge to have a fantastic sexual assault response coordinator and program manager with Miss Alicia Campbell. She has an amazing team of victim advocates who are standing by to support you. Sexual assault is not tolerated in the Department of the Air Force, the Air National Guard, or here at Selfridge. All airmen and guardians here at Selfridge are responsible for cultivating a culture of dignity and respect for all our airmen. Also, throughout the last week in April, we have our Nuclear Staff Assistance Visit, or NSAV, and I really appreciate all your support and participation. This exercise is a great opportunity to improve our mission proficiency in preparation for our upcoming Nuclear Operational Readiness Inspection in March of 2025. I'm excited to showcase our capabilities in an NSAV environment so we know where to focus our training efforts leading up to the NORAI. I also just wanted to share with you that last month, Chief Gordon and I traveled to Lackland Air Force Base, and I had the opportunity to be the reviewing officer for an Air Force basic military training graduation. It was so inspiring to see the future of our Air Force and meet the Air Force's newest airmen. Chief Gordon and I had the opportunity to tour the barracks, eat with the basics, and we had an opportunity to coin the top graduate of basic military training. So I encourage all of you to take advantage of everything that Airman Development Command has to offer. And please complete your professional military education to better understand why we serve and improve the impact that you have on the organization. And lastly, I just want to remind you that we are less than 60 days away from our air show. The air show is going to be the 8th and 9th of June with our Family Day happening on Friday, the 7th of June. So have a great April drill, and remember, together we stand ready to answer the call.
And that is all I have for this month's Road to Drill podcast. If you want to keep up with everything being produced here in the PA office, like us on Facebook and Instagram, smash that subscribe button on YouTube, and if you haven't yet, download the Air Force Connect app from the App Store. For the 127th Public Affairs Office, I am Technical Sergeant Drew Schumann. Have a great drill and a great April.